First of all, introduce yourself.
My name's Rob.
And I'm Sean Booth.
From Oteka. Yeah. How do you pronounce the name, actually?
However you like. Different. Yeah. I say Oteka.
But Oteka? I mean,
yeah, that's just my...
A lot of people pronounce it in a different way, but that's a detail, I guess. Your new album? Took me ages to find out the title of the new album.
Right.
Because didn't read the bio.
Right.
What is it?
Trirepatoi.
What's it mean?
Nothing and everything?
Well, I don't know, it's just the title for the album, really. That's what it means.
Where'd you get it?
We made it. We make all our titles, or most of them anyway.
Not Amber, at least.
Not Amber, no.
This album is, sort of mellow, I guess. But the first album, at least, was. The second album is a bit more, speedy, harder. I mean, harder, quote unquote.
What, you think that the new one's harder?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just where our heads are at. I mean, it's basically just the last 12 months' worth of material. And it's the stuff that we preferred from that, you know. It's like about a quarter of what we did over the last year that's on there, and I don't know, it's basically just this. We don't really think about making it sound a certain way when we do it. We just write tracks for a year and then pick a load. So I mean, what you're hearing is basically what we've been up to over the last year.
Do you guys write songs or what you said, make music while you play live, or do you do it in your own studio? You got yourself a studio?
Yeah, we got our own studio as well.
Great.
I mean, half the stuff we do in the studio is pretty much live. Anyway, you know, we do a lot of jamming, and you know, one day we just said, you know, we could play this very loud, do it live in a club, you know.
Yeah, it was like
at the time. I mean, when we was first started thinking about doing live stuff, it was about 1990. 91 probably, and there weren't a lot of people doing it, and we'd already figured out that we could do it, because that was all we used to do, was just get the gear going and then mess about with it sort of on spec, just jam around on it. And I mean, we were already thinking about sort of taking it to clubs then, even though it was would have probably been pretty crap because we didn't really know what we were doing. But I mean, having said that, it was like a really nice sort of idea, you know, something to go for, and I think we finally started getting it right, basically.
Yeah.
But it's taking time, but I mean, it's certain things that you figure out along the way, you know, and it's sort of...
I still think you guys are way ahead of most musicians, especially house musicians.
That's a real compliment, thank you very much.
Especially the fourth song, your first album. I got it with me here.
Slip.
Slip,
you look
amazing.
That's really weird, a few people have said that.
What?
I don't.
What do you think?
What do I think of Slip?
Yeah.
As a track? I like it, but it was like, it's just done in an afternoon, you know. It's like, it's difficult to be objective about these things, you know. We made the tracks and we know what went into them, and whereas for you it's an entirely new thing, you hear it completely differently. So, my opinion doesn't really count, unfortunately.
Well, you're one of the creators, I guess.
Yeah, you know, you can't really critique something that you created yourself, because you know the intention, and nobody else does, so that's where criticism is interesting, because nobody knows why you've done something.
The musical style develops. What will be next? Gabberhaus?
Funnily enough, actually. No, it's actually weird. I don't know whether you've heard any of the Caustic Vision stuff that's coming from England. It's like really... It is almost Gabber, basically. Very, very similar to a lot of the stuff that comes from Rotterdam. But it's interesting. They're using like interesting sounds and stuff. But that's not what we're gonna do.
No.
But I don't know. I don't know what will we do. Dunno, more music, really.
What do you think of Technohead, actually?
Technohead? What do you mean by that?
Music. That'd be a GDL.
Okay. But it's not really our sort of thing. I mean, it's alright, there's other things that we think about.
This guy was really okay. He was like Michael Wells, he was like, yeah. A lot of people look down upon this sort of house music. That's especially why I like to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think it's still the case? A lot of people look down on cover house.
I don't know. I think a lot of Dutch people do. Yeah. Mm. But I mean, in the UK, I don't think anybody gives they're not even aware that it exists, really. I mean, there's a few pirate stations playing it. There's about probably four clubs in the whole of the UK that are playing it.
Yeah, no one's that specific. If you get anywhere close, it's usually like a more extreme rave you might hear about.
Like,
but
reflex,
yeah, it doesn't get that brutal in England, really.
Yeah, can you imagine like 50,000 people turning up for a show here?
Yeah, that's just insane to us. It's just, you know, it doesn't happen in the UK.
Really. It's pointless. Why?
Because you lose a great deal on something of that scale. The only reason that people are gathering in on that scale is because technology necessitates it. Obviously, because we have the ability to be able to get together a crowd that large now, because we have the technology to give them the music. People want to do that, but it's no better than broadcasting. You're basically playing to small groups of people still all the time, because you don't get any kind of real unity with figures that big. It's unnatural for crowds of that size to gather.
Suppose you will be asked to play Glastonbury. Would you refuse that?
We've already played Glastonbury.
There you go. So, I mean,
no, I understand completely what you're saying, but it's...
The funny thing is, we didn't really sort of... Glastonbury was like the last straw, playing big places.
No, it wasn't, really.
I mean, well...
I think it was.
You not enjoy it?
Yeah, definitely, but, you know that... There's only a handful of people at the very front or spotted around the club of such a huge size that are actually
listening
properly. You know, the rest,
I mean, it's very difficult, basically, to fill a large venue with people who are prepared to get on the same level. And in a small venue, you find that because people don't have the need to move around so much, and because people very easily find their space when you go into a small venue, and they tend to stay there, and something gets created in the small amount of time, in the small amount of space that you've got, that's very precious, and you've basically got a buzz in the crowd that doesn't change, it just elevates as the DJ takes them, or whoever, you know, if it's live music or whatever. It's basically everybody's on the same tip all night.
Yeah.
Whereas you get a big place, yeah, everybody's moving around, and everybody's in totally different wavelengths. You see your mate after half an hour, it's like, where have you been? Oh, well, see you later. You know, and there's nothing. It's just everybody's confused. And that's not what it's about. And I totally understand what you're saying. And I think for getting large groups of people together is a good thing. Always will be. Mm. But it's important that you put a lot of attention on getting everybody on the same level. And if you're going to get a crowd that big, then you have to take on the responsibility of making sure that everybody has a good time. Mm-hmm. And usually in large events, you know, in my experience, it doesn't work. You always get, you know, dissipated crowds and people just like wandering around as if they're not even there.
So how do you work on stage? Is there something to see on stage? You know, I mean, how does it work live? It's just everybody...
There's nothing to say, but there's plenty to hear, so... I mean, that's the reason we do it, is for the sound. I mean, we go to clubs for sound, you know what I mean? That's like the primary thing. We don't go there to see anything. We've never gone to clubs for the lights. So we don't do a light show, you know, we're just interested in the music.
So it would be easier for you guys to just send around tapes so people could play that?
It'd be easier, but it wouldn't be much fun.
Mm-hmm.
No. What's your drive? What's your kick for playing live?
I mean, we don't enjoy anything other than being able to work them. I mean, we've been DJing for years, and it's like, basically, if you've ever DJed, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. It's about almost getting inside their heads and then taking them where you want them to go. And you can do it with live music a lot better than you can do it with a set of turntables, because you've got a lot more things that you can do. Basically, infinite possibilities, things that you can change. And you can basically shape the music live as the people are there. And you can read them and figure out exactly where you should take it. And you do. And that's why we do it, you know, it's a laugh, it's something to do, and somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
And basically, we'd really appreciate it if there was somebody like us out there, because we're only doing it for ourselves anyway.
Would you still call your music Ambient House?
We've never called our music Ambient House.
Yes, so.
No.
Why not?
Because it's not anything. It doesn't, it's an old cliche, but it doesn't fit in. We really do.
I mean, we had serious problems.
Like, before about 91, we had serious problems getting anybody to listen to our music. You know, it was becoming something that was a chore, sending out tapes, and then people coming back to us saying, oh, it needs something more, perhaps. You know, perhaps not understanding that it was complete, and basically everything's complete once the person has completed it, you know. It's like trying to explain to people that we were happy with it and it was finished and that was the way it should be, sort of thing, was very difficult until we met Warp and everything started falling into place, sort of thing. But I think we've never written music for anybody else except ourselves. I mean, whenever we've been told to do something with it, we've pretty much ignored people, because every time in the past when you try taking somebody's advice and it's just a total waste of time, because they never understand the way that you think about it, because they haven't been working with you and etc. So we just please each other and that's about it.
You guys have total freedom, creatively spoken?
Completely, yeah. Yeah. Total freedom.
On what?
You're on this this label from Sheffield.
Yeah, what?
We were talking to people from Morocco last week who are from Sheffield too, and they were like, oh, Attacker, they're so dark and depressive, which was kind of surprising. I mean,
I don't know. Well, they don't sound like us, so they've probably got a completely different point of view about what we do.
I mean, we've met Morocco a couple of times, you know. They're a laugh. They're all right. They're pretty mad. But, yeah, they just think we're moody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, fuck them, you know. I mean, it's just, it's a laugh, isn't it? But, I mean, they think that we're sort of trying to be depressing on purpose. I mean, we're not at all. I don't even think we are depressing. I just think we're normal, really. You know, it's like, that's the only way I could say it, really. We're just giving you the way we are, you know what I mean? We're not serious or anything. We are having a laugh. In more sort of ways than most people.
One more thing. Who does the artwork?
Designers.
Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Republic, what's the
line? Designers Republic are in Sheffield, basically. And they're just people who've always done the design, or the majority of the design for Warp. But we've always really, really rated them since the outset, you know, since we first saw their stuff. And we got a chance to work with them because of Warp, and we were like, you know, we got introduced to them. 5 years down the line, they're like really good mates, and you know, we just basically we tell them what we want them to do, and then they go away and do it, and they do it. They add their touch as they do it, and they, you know, that's pretty much perfect for us. Cause, I mean, we basically trust them with handling it because they do exactly what we do. It's just that we ain't got the time to do it.
Wow!
So it's amazing. Perfect working relationship basically. And I mean, we're pretty keen on design anyway, in general. So. To meet people who are on such the same wavelength is a really good thing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, okay, you gotta go to another studio. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Have a good show.
Thanks very much.